Welcome back to Backbone Radio. I'm your host, Ross Kaminsky. Speaking of starting your day with a friendly voice, I think tomorrow, right? First day of Steve Kelly's new morning show right here on 710 KNUS. So check that out tomorrow morning right here. You know, when you hear Barack Obama use the word invest, you know, hold on to your wallets. Barack Obama has no idea what investment means. He's never had a private sector job, although he's making lots of money now selling his books, which I'm sure he has someone managing that for him. But even there, he's not managing his own investments. He doesn't know anything about investments. But Jordan Goodman does. And in these days of, you know, stock market, and you guys know I'm a financial markets trader. So I'm watching the market, you know, go down 5% in a little over a week and then back up 5% the next week. It's crazy. Oil, you know, 94 down to 90 when Barack Obama does that crazy oil release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and now all the way back up to 96. It's pretty crazy out there. It's pretty daunting if you're managing your own finances. I really recommend you get to this 710 KNUS Financial Expo on Tuesday, July 26th with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man. I told you before in the show, I've met Jordan Goodman. I interviewed him on the radio. He had a lot of good answers to serious questions, and what he is not just a bunch of hot air. I know financial hot air when I hear it. I've been in finance for more than 20 years. This guy knows what he's talking about, and this 710 KNUS Financial Expo is free, but the seating is limited. So go to 710knus.com and sign up, you know, get your free ticket. Go ask Jordan Goodman a question if it's about your retirement plan, your mortgage, whatever. I've heard him answer really tricky technical questions on this stuff. It's going to be well worth your time. Now, we were talking before the break about Representative Xavier Becerra from, he's a Democrat, represents Los Angeles, and he was on Fox News talking about this debt deal. And it was one bit of left-wing propaganda after another. We already talked about the Bush tax cuts thing. I told you that the CBO has shown that the Bush tax cuts were responsible for 16% of the swing from surplus to deficit. And I would point out that that certainly overstates the number, because there were massive pro-growth impacts from the tax cuts. The CBO only models statically, which means they don't take into account the fact that tax cuts cost economic growth. So in fact, it would be much less than 16%. But even if you want to go with the static models, 72% of the swing from surplus to deficit is caused by spending and the fact that we had a recession. It's that simple. Now, what else? This was, I thought, a remarkable and subtle bit of manipulation by Representative Becerra. He's clearly a very smart guy and clearly very well versed in the left wing talking points. So he held up a dollar bill, and then he took out of his pocket a $50 U.S. government savings bond that he said was given to his daughter when she was born 16 years ago. And he held them up and he said, look, these things are both based on the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And you know, he's basically wrong in any way that matters to an actual human being living in America. Because think about this. If you take a $50 savings bond, there's a few reasons. If you take a $50 savings bond to the supermarket to try to pay for your groceries with it, they won't take it. It's not money, right? It's not money. A dollar bill is money. Now, a $50 savings bond is a credit that you eventually exchange for money. But the only way that you get that money for that savings bond, the government has to give you that money, and it gives you that money in a couple of ways. It either taxes existing money away from people who earned it to give it to you, and there's nothing unethical or immoral about that part of the transaction. You bought a bond, and the government owes you the money, and the government gets revenue from taxes. So, but still, the bond is not money. It has to get you the money, and the money comes from somewhere. namely from either taxes or from other borrowing, kind of the way you would refinance a house. They'll borrow $50 from someone else and pay you that $50. Or finally, the Fed just prints the money, which makes the value of everybody's money go down by that much. It just deflates the value of the dollar. It's sometimes it's called monetizing the debt. So when the congressman holds up money and a bond and says they're the same thing because they both are sort of based on the full faith and credit of the government, it's not true. There is a huge step in there because that bond has to get turned into money somehow. Now, it was interesting because this congressman went on to say, look, since these things are the same, and since the Social Security Trust Fund holds savings bonds, it's not the same kind of bond he had from his daughter, and it's not the same kind of bond that you buy when you buy government bonds. They're kind of special purpose bonds, but still, basically, what's happened is, and what the here's what the congressman said. He said, if people tell you that the Social Security Fund is broke, they're telling you that politicians have stolen the money. But and he argues politicians haven't stolen the money. These bonds are in that fund, and he argues that they're the same as money. But they're not the same as money, and politicians have stolen the money. And I don't mean stolen by, you know, taking it like William Jefferson in Louisiana and sticking it in their freezer, right? What they did was, for many years, the tax revenue from payroll taxes, the Social Security taxes, the income from that was more than the money getting spent by the Social Security system on retirees who were collecting Social Security. So that's why it's called a surplus. You know, just, you know, if we're paying out, pick a number, if we're paying out $100 billion in Social Security benefits, then maybe we were taking in $110 billion in Social Security taxes. So 110 comes in, 100 goes out to the recipients, and $10 billion is left over as the Social Security surplus. Now, in any rational system, that $10 billion would have been deposited in an account or in cash and maybe earning interest and stored there. But instead, what happened was the politicians took the money, replaced the money with IOUs from the government, these sort of special purpose bonds, and spent that money and brought it right into the general revenue of the government and spent it on bridges to nowhere or tanks or whatever else they wanted to spend money on. And I want to make very clear, there have been two Supreme Court rulings back in the, I think they were both in the 30s, could be 30s and 40s, that said that that's okay. They said the Supreme Court has ruled more than once that Social Security tax revenue is not insurance, it is not investment, it is not a guarantee of anything to the people who paid it. It is just another tax, and that the government can do whatever it wants to with the money. So there's nothing legally preventing government from, you know, stopping Social Security. It's only politically that they won't stop Social Security. Now, so my point here is that the politicians did steal that money in the sense of that money was entrusted to them as a Social Security surplus to pay future beneficiaries. Most people would have thought that was what was going on with the money, but they took it, and it's instead there are bonds there. So the idea then that the money and the bonds are the same is simply a lie, because with the Social Security Trust Fund, such as it is, full of these bonds, in order to pay the beneficiaries, now that Social Security, as of right around now, I think this year, is no longer running a surplus, meaning that the Social Security tax that's coming in is slightly less than the amount that needs to be paid out as benefits, that means that the fund is going to have to dip into their accumulated surplus to make up the difference. So for example, let's say we owe $100 billion in benefits. There's only $95 billion of Social Security payroll tax coming in. So, but theoretically, there's this, and I don't know what the number is. I'm sorry, I don't know the number. But maybe there's $100 billion in surplus, technically, amassed over these last years, except that the politicians spent it all and put bonds in there in its place. So when the government needs to go get $5 billion to make up that difference to pay the beneficiaries, they have to go collect cash, exchange these bonds for cash, and the only way they get that cash is by taxing you or by taxing our kids later, right? But we've paid these Social Security taxes already. They spent the money. And now, in order to pay the tax, to pay the benefits for the Social Security system, they're going to have to tax you again. This time it'll be income tax rather than Social Security payroll tax. But the money that you thought you paid in payroll taxes to go into the Social Security surplus was indeed stolen by politicians, no matter what this Democrat representative wants you to believe. Bonds and cash are not the same. A bond is a claim on future cash, and you get paid interest on the claim while you wait, but a bond is not money. And a bond is much more dependent on the full faith and credit of the government than the cash is, because people can agree to exchange anything. I mean, in the Pacific Islands, they exchanged seashells for a long time, right? You can exchange anything, and people could agree to continue to exchange dollars if they wanted to, regardless of what the federal government does or doesn't do. But bonds, it's a whole different thing. Bonds really are dependent on the full faith and credit of the government. Bonds are not money, and do not let the federal government make you think that bonds are money. They're not. Stay with us right here on Backbone Radio on News Talk 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. Reading a Reuters news story here. John Boehner, the top Republican in Congress, told the White House in talks on Sunday that budget cuts must exceed the amount by which the debt ceiling is raised, and said any deal must exclude tax hikes. I sure hope he sticks with that. It's going to be, the politics of this are so fascinating, given the way Republicans have appeared to blink in the past, given the way Republicans lost the political battle over the 1994-1995 government shutdowns. This is going to be really fascinating. I think Democrats think they can win by pushing this to the edge, and I think they're making a huge mistake. Democrats live in their own little bubble, and I really don't think it's going to work out for them. And I'm not just saying that because I hope that's true. I think the public has really changed the way they view things. And what I encourage you to do, by the way, when you look at polls, whether it's Gallup, Rasmussen, whatever, when you look at polls, what you must focus on like a laser is what the independent, unaffiliated voters say. So when you look at polls and see unaffiliated voters, you know, taking the effectively the Republican position, you know, 50-55% kind of range, with maybe 40% of the unaffiliated taking the Democrat side, you know, and you know, 5-10% undecided, whatever. That is a huge plus for Republicans, because these elections are decided by unaffiliated voters. Now, we were talking about Democrat lies, such as that the Bush tax cuts are responsible for the current deficit. One other thing that this representative from California, Xavier Becerra, said is that he thinks that the rich are not paying their fair share. This is the oldest and biggest lie in the Democrat arsenal, and I hope and I trust that listeners of Backbone Radio are already smart enough to understand what an enormous lie this is. Because of the recession, the most recent tax data show that the top 1% of income earners paid only 38% of income taxes. Now listen to me carefully when I tell you this. Don, are you listening? The top 1% pays more in tax than the bottom 80%. Okay? It is really, really remarkable. And so for someone like Becerra to say, in to say that the rich are not paying their fair share is really, really crazy. I mean, you're talking about 1% already paying almost 40% of the taxes. It is really incredible. And what else can I tell you? Don, the top 5% of income earners, the top 5% pay more in federal income tax than the other 95% combined. And this is Democrats saying that the rich are not paying their fair share. And in case you're interested, you might say, what percent of the national income is earned by these people? After all, if they're earning 38% of the income or 50% of the income, which I bet a lot of people believe, then paying 38% of the taxes is reasonable. Well, I don't have the number for this the last year, but generally the number for the last few years where the top 1% has been paying anywhere from 39 to 40% mostly has been earning around 15, 18 and up to 20% of the national income, usually around 18. So basically, the top people are paying, in percentage terms, twice as much of the federal taxes as they're earning in federal income. Now, we've talked about this before on the show, but this favorite metaphor of the Democrats, Becerra said it, Barack Obama says it, is this idea of shared sacrifice. And I'm going to give you this metaphor again. What is shared sacrifice? Okay? This is what shared sacrifice is. Your employer says to you, we're having a hard time here. You can keep your job, but I need to cut your salary if you want to keep your job. I don't want to, you have a good employer. He doesn't want to fire people, but he needs to stay in business. He said, look, I need you to take a 10% pay cut. And you agree because you don't want to lose your job. So you get your paycheck, you go cash it, you do whatever, and because you earn a little less money, you're walking down the street with $50 less in your wallet than you normally have when you're walking down the street, and suddenly you get mugged. The mugger whacks you over the head, takes your wallet, and the mugger ends up with $50 less than he would have had had you not had to take the pay cut. The mugger and you have shared sacrifice. That is the Democrats' vision of shared sacrifice. The people who are getting, the people who pay the most in federal taxes, the people without whom this quasi-socialist system that we've devolved into could not be supported, the people without whom the Ponzi scheme of Social Security would already have exploded. Those people, the people who are already paying 40% of the national income tax, have somehow more sacrifice to share? I don't think so. We cannot let them get away with this. And similarly, it's a similar concept when you hear Nancy Pelosi, and again, Representative Becerra say, we're not going to let senior citizens pay for balancing the budget. Senior citizens aren't paying for it. Senior citizens are collecting Social Security far more than they ever paid in. They are just being the recipients of socialism, the recipients of transfer of wealth. They're not paying for balancing the budget. It comes right back to the shared sacrifice and the mugger. Now, I am not saying that senior citizens collecting Social Security are the moral equivalent of muggers. No, they paid into the system their whole working lives, and they had promises made to them that this government should and must keep for people who are already in retirement. But the idea that cutting back over time on Social Security is somehow causing future seniors to pay is ridiculous. It is no different than their arguing that, you know, it is the mugger has not shared your sacrifice. Okay, let's just get that very, very clear. Boy, that's been a fast 3 hours of radio. Now, I am going to be away, taking my family to South Africa, believe it or not. Can't wait for this trip. It is going to be really wonderful. Next week, you're going to have the always excellent Krista Kafer in studio for me. And for a few shows after that, you're going to have Jimmy Sengenberger right here in these very own Backbone Radio studios. So please tune into them and listen to Steve Kelly's brand new local talk show right here on 710 KNUS tomorrow morning. Until I speak to you next, I wish you all a happy, healthy, and prosperous coming several weeks. Signing off for all of us here at Backbone Radio. Have a great night.